Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Thank you.
Now, firstly, how would you define the terms online identity and real life identity?
Yeah, well, in what I've looked at is that, in a sense, we construct strategic versions of ourselves, and how strategic we are is depending on what we use it for. So when we're online, it's not who we are. It is a version of us, but it is a fiction that is strategic, it's tactical, and depending on the person, it might be really bad tactics. It might be incredibly good tactics, but it is not ourselves. It's a version which is very much like what has occurred across our culture for the last two centuries. And that version of a public version of ourselves, yes, could be walking down the street, but a better one to understand what's happening in online culture, social media, is probably celebrity culture and understanding how they negotiate that space of their parts of their private life now being public and how they negotiate that all the time. It's not themselves, but it's a version of themselves that they use, if they're very good at it, strategically for their own way of comporting as a company, in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, with the introduction of online profiles and kind of self-expression on the web, I guess it kind of does equate very, very much to before we had the internet, we still saw celebrities in the news and stuff, and they would have to curate their identities on, through media. So it's very interesting to see that it's a kind of smaller scale, but now happening to almost everybody. So how much do you think our real life identities are reflective of how we present ourselves online?
Well, they're always there, and I think one of the if you want a deeper reality, is, you know, the question would always be, what is real in terms of identity? Everything is a negotiation with whoever we are connected to. So if you're a child, it might be two parents, and that reflects the structure of your identity. When you're at work, it is to your workmates, but it could also be bosses and other structures of authority. And when you're online, I suppose what it is an elaborate negotiation that plays with all those dimensions at the same time. So one of the things that is I don't think it's the most bizarre, but is one of the most interesting ones, is how we construct a happy Instagram profile where we're always smiling. And yet, even in our closest friends, we would probably indicate when we're not connected to something in all sorts of ways. So if you look at the emergence of the selfie, it's interesting. It's like a photo album sort of territory of how you're trying to express yourself to maybe family. But it almost doesn't make sense that everything that you would post in the range that you post over, you know, continuous minutes of the day, hours, days, that it would always be this sort of happy face with something behind you. And it's not that it's not real to your real identity, whatever that is, as you heard, I think that's a negotiation as well. It's that it is a play, a performance. And it's a performance of what you think would be appropriate at that particular time.
Right. It's like a performance of identity rather than like an identity in itself.
Yeah. And this is, I think this is the transformation of a lot of what we have in our culture right now. It's not a massive transformation, but allowing ourselves to go through a technological screen. That's using screen in a larger sense of what it is, a filter of who we are and how other people see us. So humans do have a lot of notions of individuality, but they're also very collectively defined in all sorts of ways. You know, even the development of our notion of our politics, that we have a leader that lives, you know, several thousand kilometers from lots of people that they lead, you know, and I'm not going to get into Scott Morrison or anything like that, but it is a bizarre sort of relationship to how we think of leadership. And that's the idea that we can imagine an incredible, and this is bizarre, and this is the bizarre part about the human through technology, parasocial, not real social, relationship to all sorts of individuals that made up, in a sense, the way we operated our culture for the last 100 years, that we're really comfortable with that. Now we do it ourselves. We have a parasocial relationship, which is very similar to a political leader or a film star, that we construct versions of ourselves that present happiness because we know that we have to construct that we don't actually want more than maybe 10 or 15 people knowing the range of emotions, the range of how we might rationalize things in other ways. Having said that, there are some people who will be strategic about what they hate or what they think is funny or what they think would be revealing, but allow their relationships to become stronger or more bonding to a group. And those people are what we call now influencers or KOLs, key opinion leaders, or whatever they might be.
Yeah.
And they're attached to the transformation of our kind of media industry in the widest sense, that they are the pathway that promotions, products move into other people's minds.
Right, of course.
That was a lot in that.
No, but it was all very informative. And, you know, like I read quite recently about parasocial relationships and its connection with, like, stan culture online.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting that, like, nowadays you do see a lot of celebrities kind of on, you know, like, Instagram and Twitter having this very, like, personable presence online and interacting with their fans, but, you know, definitely at, like, arm's reach, which kind of creates these parasocial relationships between, like, the fan and the celebrity. And it's very interesting how we kind of, like, create these relationships that, you know, in a way are definitely, like, real relationships, but also not to the fuller extent, I guess. It is very interesting.
Yeah, there are interesting things about how we relate to technology around our identity that are, if you think of them in an abstract way, you know, like a academic like me, is they're really quite strange. So one of the things that I observed just the other day was watching a person walk down a street, smiling, laughing, but there's no one else around. So on one level, you'd say, "Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. They've got phones in their ears. They may be even positioning their phone so it is taking a picture of them." But that idea of expressing that level of emotion to people who are really not connected to you, meaning people going by in cars or people walking on the street, is really, really strange. And it's a strange notion that you're comfortable with smiling, laughing, crying in that environment because you are no longer in your everyday environment. You're in a different environment. You are in your everyday environment, but you have constructed this other one, which has a privilege over your spatial, temporal, where you are. And this is probably one of the biggest changes. That notion that you started with identity itself, we're getting more and more comfortable with expressing ourselves through technology, this technology, at a level that blends the public, the private, the intimate, the personal, the professional, in ways that is probably shifting our notion of what is identity in the next, and it doesn't happen overnight, I think it does, but in the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the next 20 or 30 years, what can we expect in the near future around online identities and whatnot?
Yeah, I would say one of the things that's going to happen is that we're going to get more and more strategic about how we use it. So one of the things I'm kind of working on is how do individuals start to work out how the algorithmic version of us, the term I use for these things is persona. How do we produce a different persona based on what we do online? In other words, we know people are picking up information about us and then sending it back to us or sending it on to other destinations. This is the world, our new sort of media world, communication world. And I think the next step is that we're probably going to get better at trying to work out, if I say this, does that produce these things coming back at me? And does it lead to these people attaching to me in some way? So we're going to get more and more sophisticated at constructing this version of ourselves, an online persona that is aware of the different versions of ourselves that are created online. And I'm guessing that an app will emerge that will help us negotiate what kinds of meanings we are producing online and say, do you really want to be thought of this way or this way based on the kinds of emotions, the kinds of expressions, the kinds of rationalizations that we present online?
Right. Sounds both exciting and terrifying. If I'm honest.
Yeah, and I guess those are the sorts of things that we always have to think about. You know, as GM Holden disappears, we have to remember that, you know, cars have only really been in a mass way around us for a century. And I know that seems a long time. That's more than all our lives except a few, like Kirk Douglas.
That messes with me, the fact that he's been a, well, I mean, obviously he's passed away very recently, but he was around just before cars.
In an incredibly mass level. But if you think about it, these sorts of things that we think are stable are not as stable as we imagine. And so a lot of these things are going to shift, and we'll think of them as the new normal. Right now, we're in that naturalization, normalization of a relationship to what we share online at a level that is shifting, in a sense, our notion of identity, in the same way as, I suppose, the environmental climate change is also shifting what we see as normal. Mm. And in that shift, there are massive other repercussions. As I mentioned earlier, maybe a different political system will develop. I don't know. Maybe a different economic system is developing, but there are all sorts of differentiations that we have to look for and also debate. And that's the key thing. And that's why I really love, you know, talking about these things, because it allows us to discuss them and work out, do we want that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great having you on the show to talk about this.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ruby, and hope it helps someone think this through.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's it. Thank you so much. I might have to